Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Divination. Divination is a podcast and video show by Elegant Themes, the creators of Divi, the ultimate premium WordPress theme and visual page builder. The goal of Divination is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and as your host, it's my job to facilitate that success by having various guests from the Divi and wider WordPress community onto the show to share their stories and experiences with you. In this episode, I'll be interviewing Joseph Fioramonte. Joseph is the founder of Dark Square, a design studio based out of Baltimore, Maryland that specializes in branding. He's also a professor at the University of Baltimore, where he teaches graphic design. When I caught up with Joseph on Skype recently, we talked about how his company uses Divi with their clients and how he recommends Divi to his students and a lot more. I hope you enjoy our chat as much as we did having it. Without further delay, here is our conversation. Joseph, welcome to Divi Nation.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Thanks for making time to talk with me today.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great to get introduced to you via email. You were able to talk with our operations director, Mitch, and he put us in contact, and I'm really glad he did. I looked at your work recently, and I was really impressed. For those who are not aware, Joseph's company, Dark Square, designed, among other things, the Kiss Metrics website with Divi, and we'll definitely talk more about that later, but that was cool to find out.
Yeah, that was a fun project, and Divi made it a lot easier for sure.
Awesome. So you said you're pretty familiar with our format, and as you know, what we do is we kind of start everything off with a day in the life. And from what I understand, you have a pretty interesting combo. Professionally, you are a professor and a a web designer. What does a typical day in your life look like?
Yeah, depends which day. I can say consistently it starts with about an hour of emails or more when I wake up. Usually we run from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. just to be a little bit later because most of our clients are on the West Coast and we're here in Maryland on the East Coast. So there's a 3-hour head start. But usually get up, get a cup of coffee, start reading emails and replying and coordinating for the day. We have a team of about 5. It depends. Sometimes we bring on more for projects. Sometimes people are on vacation or whatnot, but that's the start. Coordinating with clients, coordinating with team members and delegating, making sure that everything is lined up for work for the day. And then from there, if it's a teaching day, I'm going to class and talking with students and grading and all that fun stuff. If it's a design day, I'm art directing and researching for, trying to problem solve solutions for clients.
Very cool. So what's the balance like with that? How many days do you teach and how many days are you solely, web designing or art directing rather?
Yeah, good question. It's a lot. That's something I'm kind of trying to figure out how to manage as I'm getting older here. 80 hour weeks are not uncommon. 100 hour weeks are not unheard of. My course load is 3-3 right now. So three classes per semester, which is a full load. Mm-hmm. And, most of my classes run in the evening. We have a lot of graduate students that are taking night courses. So I teach till about 11 o'clock at night, 2 or 3 days a week, depending on the semester. And I usually come home to more emails and think I got to take up and take care of when I get home for work stuff. So it's a pretty busy schedule. Mm. And, usually some work on Sunday. I try to keep Saturdays off limits. But, owning a business sometimes, that's what you got to do.
Yeah, just all kind of never, you're always on call, I guess.
Yeah, you really are. Yeah, especially with this kind of work. A lot of our clients need things quickly, a lot of marketing efforts, social media graphics, and posts and landing pages, and they need them fast. So we get that call and it's right to work.
Yeah, normally I ask people how they got, kind of to tell their WordPress story. Mm-hmm. Can you also, I guess, weave into that, how exactly you came to be a teacher and a as well as what you teach and a WordPress user.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And my WordPress story starts almost with Elegant Themes. So my undergraduate work was in fine art. I said I went to school to be a starving artist and live the dream. So I got into teaching, and I started teaching high school for a while, and I had to get a master's to keep my teaching license in New York State. And I was doing graphic design. I had taught myself HTML and CSS. Flash was popular back then, and I was doing a lot of Flash sites for local stuff, small things. But it was fun. I enjoyed it, and I thought I was pretty decent at it. And so when I went to graduate school, I went to SCAD down in Savannah, and that's when I started getting into WordPress. So probably a little late. I guess this was 2008 or 9.
Okay.
And there's so many themes available even back then, and all, you know, theme forests and whatnot. And this was even before Divi had come out. I came across your site, and it was great stuff. I mean, it was well designed, and I could work with it. I wasn't I didn't know PHP very well. You know, I knew some front end stuff, but I could work with what you guys had. And the other thing that really impressed me was you kept updating them, where early projects that I didn't use Elegant Themes for, it was a one and done situation. WordPress would update, but they wouldn't.
Sure.
And I was kind of out of luck, and my clients were out of luck.
Yeah, so there was a period early on in WordPress where when the premium theme market was kind of just emerging, there weren't a lot of, I guess, expectation as to what exactly should happen once a premium theme is out there. Like, what does upkeep look like? What do updates look like? What, you know, what does support look like? All that was kind of up in the air. And it seems like over the years, the successful shops, the shops that got it right early on, are the ones that are kind of ginormous today. You know, there's like Studio Press, there's Elegant Themes, and a couple others.
Right. So. Yeah, there's a few. And, you know, Divi has been a big selling point for not just you guys, but for me. I you know, I tell my clients, especially the new ones, when we're having this discussion about what platform and things like that, I can cite you guys and say, you know, they've been at it a long time, and they have always impressed me with how forward thinking they are with these products and the upkeep, and that it's going to be sustainable. I'm not going to have to come to you in a year or two from now and redo this whole thing. We can grow it. And you have. I mean, the A-B testing thing was a game changer. That was huge. And
thank you.
I mean, there's so much stuff you guys have done and been really forward thinking about, you know, and the fact that you've been around a while, I can point to you and say, you know, it's going to be here. I mean, we don't have to build this with intentions for expenses 2 years from now that exceed your budget. So it's been a huge asset.
Well, that's good to hear. Let's talk a bit about your sort of those early days you're talking about with just getting into WordPress, using some of the older themes, and being a teacher. At what point did you, while you're teaching and using WordPress and doing things on the educational side, did you decide to go commercial with DarkSquare? Or was there a phase before DarkSquare where maybe you were just freelancing by yourself?
Sure. Yeah, I was freelancing for years, probably since 2002. As a graphic designer and teaching myself web. I'm primarily a graphics guy. I've taught myself the front end design. I would never call myself a developer.
Sure.
We have those people on the team to help out with that stuff, and they're amazing. But WordPress has made it so easy for somebody like me who's technically savvy enough, but not a hardcore programmer, to get by. So I had been freelancing, you know, a teacher's salary, especially teaching high school. Didn't cover student loans that I had, so I was always trying to find other ways to make money, and design was working very well for me. And getting into WordPress in graduate school and learning that, and just the possibilities that opened up for me, the level of work I could do, it just grown tremendously through that technology.
So what's the use of WordPress like right now, and Divi, I guess, if you can make that connection, in the education space at the moment? Is it pretty widespread, or is there a gap there that you're trying to inform people of to kind of fill, like funnel people into it? Because I've found that, you know, I live here in Columbus. We're home to, I don't even know how many, at least 10 universities, including Ohio State. So we got tons of students everywhere. A lot of acquaintances are, you know, they work in education, and a lot of them have horrible websites, if I'm being quite honest. But WordPress could turn that around for almost all of them. There's nothing that they would require of themselves in using WordPress that wouldn't allow them to improve their website. So I'm wondering if that's something that you've noticed, and if anything, what have you done to kind of help people become empowered?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. My students generally don't, some of them know about Divi or about Elegant Themes in general, but I find most of them do not. And this is kind of new to them. It's just I don't know if it's changing. I think it's changing, but something I've noticed within graphic design curriculums, they're a little behind the curve, and maybe this goes for a lot of technical industries. We're teaching a lot of print, a lot of type, and these fundamentals, but the web stuff at a lot of universities is still kind of lacking. I felt that way even when I went to graduate school at SCAD, which is one of the best in the country. I was ahead of the curve because I had taught myself. So I tell my students about Divi because they don't realize. They think they have to program and code and all these things that scare them.
Yeah.
And I show them Divi, and their minds are blown more often than not. They don't realize there are tools out there that let them be creatives instead of code punchers. And, you know, that tool is really liberating for a creative like me and for creatives like my students to, they can get by, but you know, you start talking PHP and some of these other languages, forget it. It's just too much.
So what does that process look like for a student that you're trying to get educated, or at least like allow them to build a portfolio? I mean, do you have Divi workshops, or do you just point people in the direction of Divi and hope that they get it?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of both. I usually, you know, my classes are really focused on design, visual communication between humans, more theoretical practice than technical stuff. There are so many resources out there between lynda.com, the Elegant Themes website is just a tremendous resource. That stuff's homework. I can say, you know, go learn this stuff. I can teach you design, and I can talk to you about how to teach yourself these things. And I find as an educator, that's a much more valuable lesson to my students than me doing a button pushing workshop, because then they're self-motivated. And as that technology continues to change, they have the skill set and the experience to go teach themselves those things that are really available to them. So yeah, a lot of it's just kind of pushing them in the deep end and pointing them in the direction of a lot of resources that will help them learn to swim quickly. But I mean, Divi really makes it easy. They, you know, they're very familiar with Photoshop. They take classes on how to use Illustrator and all that kind of stuff. So they're technically savvy enough that you put them in front of the Divi Builder, especially now with the front end one, and it's, you know, it's a piece of cake for them where they're at.
That's awesome. And it sounds, I mean, self-education, it seems, is so important, because you said, you know, if the system itself, the education system, is a little bit behind the curve when it comes to the technology, and you yourself feel empowered in what you do only because you taught yourself, it seems like having that same path outlined for your students just seems natural, like, because they're going to have to continue to self-educate themselves long after they're out of your classroom in order to stay up to speed.
Yeah, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm downplaying the value of an education or university education.
Oh, sure, of course not.
Yeah, but it's I think the tech is moving so quickly that you need the supplements. Universities are great for time-tested theory and practice in the visual communication side. I think they're still grappling with how do we stay on top of this rapidly changing industry, especially when it comes to internet-based media and things like that.
Yeah, and you mentioned before we started recording that you yourself use your own work through DarkSquare to continue to educate yourself and stay on top of your game with terms of trends and things like that. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure, yeah. It's teaching and running a business and being involved in this industry is a great duality. I find that the students are so up on current trends and hot new artists and new designers and music, whatever. They're just up on the culture. They're excited about it. They're steeped in it. And they bring that to my classroom, and it's exciting. It really feeds my creativity and keeps me on top of new social trends. I mean, things like Snapchat. I mean, I'm pushing 40 here. I would probably have no idea what that was if I wasn't teaching undergraduates who are all into it. So things like that really feed my creativity and keep me sharp for industry.
Yeah. Does it go back the other way too with your clients and being able to bring that to the classroom?
Absolutely. Working with clients and being involved with the business side of things really keeps me sharp on industry standards and business practices and norms that I can bring back and share with my students. And it really, both sides of the equation benefit from it. The students really get a good preparation for what it's going to be like in the workforce. Yeah. And my clients get the benefit of me staying on top of all these different cultural trends.
Yeah. Do you happen to have, I know that I don't mean to put you on the spot, but do you happen to have any good examples of something specific that you were able to bring back to your students from your professional life recently?
Yeah, a lot. I'm big on entrepreneurship and running a, you know, being independent, and I just trying to think of a, you did put me on the spot. yeah, just lots of experiences that I can share and say, you know, don't make that mistake, or you really need to be aware of this. I think for me, one of the, a recent one that we had a discussion in class about is knowing what the business does that you're approaching and trying to get work from, mm-hmm. and knowing their needs. And I think that's something that I've gotten good at over the years, is it's not enough to know how to build a WordPress site. There are a million people who can do that. Automated SEM marketing, SEO, visual design, copywriting. I know enough about all of these things to know who I need to call and hire for a big project. You know, I am not a good copywriter. I know this about myself, but I know that clients need that service. A lot of the time, the client doesn't even realize they need some of the services that we provide, and we have to educate them and put together a solution that will benefit their company. So teaching my students to be well-rounded and knowledgeable and how to research and prepare to talk to a client so that, one, you look like you know what you're talking about in that situation, and two, you're able to be a real value to the client and provide them with something they're going to make a return on, and everybody wins.
Absolutely. And that's interesting, because it seems like you're, and you can hopefully fill us in a little bit more, talking about how, you know, you have your company, you have your skills and your strong points, but you hire out. Are you talking about subcontractors, or do you have a regular team that you work with on staff, with your company?
We have a core team, and it's Andre is our chief technical officer. He's spectacular. I mean, the guy's done stuff with WordPress I don't think anybody's done. And then Jacob is his technical assistant, who works with us pretty regularly, and he's on a permanent contract with us. Siobhan and Rebecca are our two designers, and they're both full time, and they're dealing directly with clients. They're not only spectacular designers, they're really capable of interacting with clients and making sure tasks are getting done and you know, handling needs and doing some finding and all that stuff. And then we have people we worked with in the past who have left, but we still call on for special projects here and there. We've got other subcontractors we call in as needed. And working with all these companies, we've just made great connections and built a really strong network of all kinds of creative and technical professionals, especially doing so much work out in Silicon Valley. There's just so many talented people in these areas working with these companies that we've gotten to know and be friendly with, and you know, other contractors for those companies that we have built relationships with that we call on regularly.
You said that you're currently the art director. Is that like your primary position at the company, or what is your role?
Yeah, I wear a lot of hats. I'm kind of creative director. I'm usually the main point of contact, especially at the beginning of a relationship with a new client. I have more contact up front than I do later on with support stuff. But I'm creative director. We decided to position as a brand agency or a branding studio early on, because for me that's all encompassing. It's every aspect, every touch point that company has with its audience or its, you know, its consumers. But so we get to do a lot of different fun stuff, and we're not limited to, you do web design. You know, we do branding, we do print, we do packaging, we do booth graphics, and it has opened up a lot of opportunities to do some really fun stuff.
Well, so we mentioned earlier that you did a website for Kissmetrics, who's a pretty big company, and I wanted to talk a bit about what it's like to land that big fish client. But maybe you can also speak to, what it is that you do positioned you to be a good fit for that that big project.
Sure. Yeah, that was a referral job. We had worked with their CMO previously at another company called Inside View, where he was CMO for a while. Everybody's moving and jiving over there. There's a lot of fast rotation in that workforce. So we have made really strong, good connections working for a company. CMO leaves, or the CEO leaves, and they have a need and they call us up. So we've been very fortunate. We have a lot of good referral business. And that was a big one. That was a pretty big, steady client for a while. We still hear from them now and again after the initial design.
And did you find that Divi was a good fit for that project specifically, or was it just what you happened to use?
No, we try to size up each job and really consider what is going to be the best CMS and best, you know, if there's a theme involved for the project. And more often than not, because of all the things that Divi does and the design flexibility it gives us, it usually is. I mean, that's usually what we end up going with. Not always, but I would say most of the time it's Divi. You know, the role editor you incorporated has been a big help. We can assign different, they have a lot of moving parts over there. They have different marketers who need to manage the blog, manage landing pages, whatever, content updates. So four or five different people are working on the site any given week, and we can confidently give them access and structure it in a way that we know they're not going to call us in the middle of the night because somebody broke something. Which is a really big help.
Yeah, that's huge. We're actually working on a blog post in the very near future, and maybe I'll reach out to you to run some of the stuff by and see if you have any tips to throw our way on how to hand off a website using the user role editor we built into Divi, because we haven't really published a whole lot of that on that. And I find it to be another, between that and Divi Leads, we have two hugely, in my opinion, underused features or under talked about features, at least. And I really want to educate the community on that because I think they're super useful.
Right. Oh, they're so helpful. It's made the handoff process feasible, where in the past we couldn't. We had to do it for them. There was no way around it. They would have broken things. So that's been a big help for us. With Kissmetrics, it was a natural fit. They were familiar with Elegant Themes already, I believe. I think they were using a different theme on their blog, but they were familiar with you guys already. So it was already an easy sell. The CMO over there, we used it on Inside View as well. So he knew how we worked with it and thought it was a great fit. And that was probably part of the reason that he called us.
And what's some of the stuff that they are doing specifically with Divi? Like, what are some of the things that Divi allows you to do, such as Divi Leads or easy landing page building and things like that? Are those elements that they use with different roles at their company on an ongoing basis? Or is it something that they call you guys and say, hey, can you build out another part of our website for us? How does that work?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. We have templates built that they can use, and this is for most of our clients, really. Sure. They can use those templates for landing pages, and they're able to create those and plug in the copy, put in any downloads like PDFs and things like that. Kissmetrics is a really interesting company because they do a lot. Their product is you know, web metrics and a lot of A/B testing, a lot of split testing. So they don't actually use the split testing a whole lot
because they have their
site. Because
that's what they do.
Really far above and beyond what Divi's is. But for a lot of people, the A/B testing built into the theme is a really big help because they're not using Optimizely?
Any of the other. I mean, there's several.
Yeah,
big
there's
ones
a few
out there that
big
you,
ones
can,
out there.
You can get.
And when you're talking the kind of traffic that some of these companies get, you're talking a major expense. They're not cheap. So to have it built into the theme and be comprehensive enough to do what most companies need or are doing, it's a great asset. It's a really big help. Landing page building, split testing, blog management, copy updates. And then if there's a really it's great because that frees us up from doing small technical stuff that really isn't our focus. And they call us for design efforts. They call us for, you know, marketing campaigns or, you know, whatever, the social images to go with a blog story. So we're doing the creative stuff that we really enjoy doing and not getting bogged down with a bunch of technical stuff that really we can do and it's profitable to do, but we'd much rather focus elsewhere.
Yeah. So that sounds like something that a lot of people in our community would probably like to establish, that type of a working relationship with their clients where they're not basically get in a situation where every time there's a minor update or something that is technically feasible, maybe even technically simple, but not necessarily creatively fulfilling, that they're called in to do that. Do you have any tips that we can sort of sign off on, I guess, or talk about here at the end of the episode as to how to build that kind of relationship where you're empowering your client to do the things that they need to do on a regular basis and having yourself made available for the stuff that you find more fulfilling?
Yeah, absolutely. Educating your client and teaching them what best practices at the beginning of a project, teaching them how to do certain technical things that are relatively easy. I try to make Vimeo videos, screenshots, screen captures of how to do certain little tasks, little 3-minute videos on how to update or how to create a page, how to use a template. And they can always refer back to those and not call me and fumble around the internet searching for it. They have them at their disposal. It's specialized just for them. And that's usually part of the project at a big redesign or an implementation. They get that package of videos so they have a learning resource.
Oh, wow.
The other thing that's been a very big help is having somebody like Andre on staff or Jacob, who I get those technical things that I could do, but it's not my area of focus. I can forward that email to him. He takes care of it. That's what he loves to do, and he's really happy to do it. And I'm not spending twice as long as he would. You know, it might take me 3 hours to figure out a small little thing in the CSS, and I could figure it out, but he has it at the top of his head. I can send it to him, and it's done in 5-10 minutes, which is great. So building those relationships, even if it's not a full-time employee or something like that, have a relationship with somebody who does that development thing, somebody who does the thing that you don't like to do that much or are not that good at, somebody who does that well that you can send them money and send them work that they find fulfilling. And that's been a great tool for me too, because so many of those people that I've worked with over the years have called me to do what I love to do and sent me work on the creative side.
Oh, nice.
So it's been a great networking policy as well.
And how do you package your services to your clients in order to encourage that? For instance, if you're giving them resources to do all the normal tasks that if they were having trouble or if they weren't using something as simple as Divi, they might call you in for, in a way, you're sort of taking some of that business away from yourself. In order to keep yourself and, getting regular business from these same clients, how do you package your services to keep them coming back to you?
Sure. Well, really, again, focusing on what it is we love to do and what we're good at. So we try to bill ourselves as creatives, and the technical solutions there are there to support what we do. So it's kind of a good buy-in factor for the client, because they see the value in not having to call a technician and pay whatever hourly rate that is every time they need a little text change or something like that. And it's really just choosing where we want to focus. My business philosophy is really, how do I serve my client to the best of my ability? And if I'm of value to them, they're going to keep coming back for what it is I'm able to provide. So, and that's served us really well. We keep getting new calls every day. I mean, our site looks all right, but it could certainly be a lot better. But we're honestly so busy with referral business that that's the last thing that gets our attention. And it's really because we try to make our clients' lives as easy as possible. And we've just been fortunate to have really great clients who let us do our creative thing and help them out on that end. So I'm not even worried about losing the technical business at all.
Oh, very cool. And that was actually one of the things I wanted to ask about, but maybe we'll do a follow-up or a blog post or something about this. But I really like, and hopefully people can go check out your website and look at these, but I love your case studies or your portfolio items. Like, so when you have a client,
I appreciate that.
The way that you guys build your sort of overview of that client project, I thought that's really cool. And I was wondering if that is something that brings in new business, but it sounds like what you're saying is most of your business is referrals. So
yeah, it's mostly referrals, but that stuff helps because we get the referral and the first thing they do is they go to our website. Mm-hmm. So being able to see good work and see clients that are in their marketplace or, you know, similar in scale, helps make the sale a whole lot easier. So, you know, having that portfolio online, even if you're getting good referral business, is really important because, you know, you got to show them what you can do. It's not enough to just say, hey, this guy's really good. They will look and they want to see evidence that you know what you're doing.
Great. So if I can, before we wrap up, I'd like to maybe do a quick recap. And then if you have anything you want to add to end, you can add that on top. So it seems like some of the stuff I'm pulling from our conversation is that, you know, you've structured your business and your service offerings so that you and the other people in your company are primarily doing things that you find like creative fulfillment in, and you're empowering your clients to do things through client documentation and a good handoff so that they can do the normal stuff that they want to do without any friction or unnecessary extra business that they got to bring your way. And then also sounds like as far as new business comes, you depend heavily on referrals, which means you're doing a lot of customer care while you have a customer, and then kind of solidifying those that new business by having good case studies on your website to instill confidence.
Yeah, that's a pretty good summary.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. Is there any kind of final thought you want to share with folks who are looking to maybe build out their own design boutique or design agency along the lines of what you have using Divi?
Yeah, I mean, Divi specifically, maybe not off the top of my head, but I would just encourage anybody who's trying to start a business or grow a business, put your clients' needs first and really serve them the best you can. I have even when it's tough or they're difficult to deal with or even rude, I mean, we have found just being nice to people in every capacity and doing a really good job, the best job we can do, has paid off in the long term, big time. I never thought I would be in the situation I'm in, and it's great.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate
that. Thank you. Appreciate the time. It's good to talk with you.
Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. As always, I just want to give another big thank you to our guest, Joseph Fioramonte, for coming on the show. If you have any questions about the topics that we covered in this episode, feel free to leave them in the comments section on the Elegant Themes blog. I've made sure that Joseph is aware of this episode going live. I'm sure he's going to be more than happy to drop by and answer any questions that he can. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. I look forward to seeing you around the community. And as always, we'll be back next week with another episode of Divi Nation.